Justice League International, Bwahaha Podcast, a monthly show chronicling the adventures of the JLI era by Keith Giffen and JMD Mateus. We started with the very first issue, and our coverage goes all the way through breakdowns. We're going issue by issue in release order, tackling two comics per episode, both a Justice League America issue and a Justice League Europe issue. Now, along the way, we're also taking time out for special episodes covering the quarterly book, interviews with various comic book creators, discussing the plethora of spin-off series, cartoon appearances, the infamous TV pilot, and more. And when we're all done, we'll wrap up our coverage by looking at the 2003 and 2005 stories, formerly known as the Justice League, and I can't believe it's not the Justice League. So join me in an ever-changing roster of guest hosts as we celebrate your favorite JLI members, such as...
Batman.
Martian Manhunter.
Captain Atom.
Fire. Ice.
Rocket Red.
The Flash.
The Elongated Man.
Maxwell Lord.
Elrond.
Power Girl.
Renard Russe. I mean, Crimson Fox.
Guy Gardner.
Metamorpho.
Booster Gold.
Blue Beetle.
Nort.
Justice League International Bwahaha Podcast. Part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Want to make something of it?
This is Adrian Paul from Highlander. And you're listening to the Dead TV Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the Dead TV Podcast, a podcast dedicated to any and all TV shows that are canceled in the sci-fi, fantasy, and horror genre, but not canceled in that really bad way, but because the networks made stupid decisions, or the ratings were really low, and you have to justify the decisions they make. I'm flying solo on this episode. This is a re-recording of another episode where half the audio didn't quite work out the way we wanted to. Today we're talking about episodes from the one and only season of Powerless, the DC Comics TV show, developed by Ben Queen, by the way. We're going to get into that, too, about who Ben Queen was, covering Green Furious and Emergency Pump-Up. Green Furious' original air date was April 13, 2017, and Emergency Pump-Up's original air date was April 20th, 2017. In the Green Furious episode, Emily has her first board meeting and must deliver on a big idea with the help of Green Fury. Teddy tries to find a way to get Green Fury's attention, and Jackie brings her daughter to work. And then Emergency Pump-Up, Punch-Up, is the teams are preparing for a company retreat when a toxic gas is released in Charm City, with the supervillain Dr. Psycho responsible. Facing an awful situation, Emily tries to make the best of it. Now, as I said, the show was developed by Ben Queen, who's an American writer, and he was the creator showrunner of this show, as well as many others. And he was also the screenplay writer for The Addams Family 2 and the Pixar animated film Cars 2, as well as Cars 3. Some of the other things that Ben has worked on besides The Addams Family and the aforementioned Cars include the TV series A to Z, which is funny, as those are the only two TV series that it was created and developed by him. And then he went back to working in movies. I'm just wondering if because both shows only had one season, possibly he didn't get to go on to do very much else. I am just speculating. I don't actually know the whole story. So I wanted to bring up about who Green Fury was. Green Fury was the Global Guardians team leader, Beatrice de Costa, and originally been bequeathed from her powers due to Brazilian mysticism, and was the president of the Brazilian branch of Wayne Enterprises. A lot of people confuse her with Fire, but this character was actually created in the Super Friends TV show, which was on in the 70s through the 80s. Her first appearance was actually in the Super Friends comic book in 1979. So she was kind of regulated to that for a long time until she made her appearance on New Earth in Infinity Inc. number 32. Otherwise, her history is very, very small, and it's just another one of those characters they were allowed to use for this TV show, as they weren't able to use any of the big characters. One of the things that you have to point out about the show is that everyone seems to be very, very horny, and they just want to fuck sometimes. It's like a constant running gag with a lot of these characters sometimes. And when you have Teddy trying to do his best to get Green Fury to save him by doing a bunch of really stupid things, it comes across as really cringy and kind of ridiculous. And I don't think they would make these plot lines fly today anymore. I just really feel like quite the message they want to send. To constantly get yourself in trouble so you can try to be rescued by a hot superhero in a, you know, green spandex outfit with the zipper, which clearly doesn't seem to work. With the Crimson Fox leaving Charm City for Metropolis to join the Justice League, they get Green Fury. And it's basically replacing one villain with another. One hero with another that's kind of a D-lister. The other character that's also mentioned in this is the First Olympian, who appeared in DC Comics number 46 in 1982. But this more resembles the version from Wonder Woman number 30 in 2009, which is just before the New 52 happened. Just like the celebrities we know, the media's hounding Green Fury. She's risking life and limb on a daily basis, but all they want to know about is her personal life and what she's wearing. It's kind of ridiculous and also very indicative of interviews that Scarlett Johansson would do for the Avengers, where people just wanted to know about her personal life and what she's wearing, whereas the guys got asked questions about the film. She kind of called out a reporter on it saying, why do these guys get all the great questions, but you're asking me about what I'm wearing? It's just a very passe way of journalism that doesn't quite exist anymore and needs to be kind of rubbed off. If you're going to ask the girl what she's wearing, ask the guy what she's wearing. Equal questions for both would make a lot more sense, however you think you should be doing it. We also see Jack Lee struggling at work with her daughter Ruby, who has been suspended from school and is befriended by Wendy, and is almost more of a child than Ruby herself. Emily's friendship helps Green Fury, and Wendy's friendship helps Jackie, and Ron's friendship helps Danny, all the while Van Wayne is still, as usual, trying to only help himself and be the unmoral compass of the entire show. The writers know these characters well, and they write them very brilliantly. It's just too bad that we never really got to see this explored into a season two, as these characters could develop and grow past a lot of the erogenous humor, sexism, and other kind of weird stereotypes that play into an office setting show. I still had a blast with this one. It would have been interesting if it had been Fire instead of Green Fury, but I digress. I still actually do enjoy this episode a lot. Next up, kind of features the villain Dr. Psycho. He has been prominently well-known recently, played by Tony Hale in the Harley Quinn TV show. He is basically DC's Kill Raven or Killmonger, the Purple Man. He has psychic abilities and he has used them to sexually assault women, which is obviously not good at all in any way, shape, or form. He constantly uses his mind control powers to get what he wants from women in really disgusting ways. He's got a tiny little body and a big bulbous head, so he's like a little person, overcompensating, maybe people would say, but I don't even think that allegory is okay either. Who would ever play him in a movie? I don't know. I don't think they could even bring this character to live action because of how problematic he is. Him being played for laughs on the Harley Quinn TV show is much more acceptable, especially when he calls Wonder Woman a C-word, which I could not believe they actually get away with, but it is the Harley Quinn universe animated series, and anything goes on that, including all sorts of offensive material, so I digress. He has been a Wonder Woman villain for as long as her career has been going on, since the fifth issue of her original series going back to 1943. He was also created by Wonder Woman's creator, Dr. William Marston. So, you know, you can blame him for the type of powers he has, but I do believe this is the only time he's ever been brought in any kind of live action media before. I never would have seen him brought to life in the Wonder Woman movies with Gal Gadot. That would be next to impossible. One of the things that I absolutely loved about this episode in particular was how Emily tries her best to make the best of the bad situation, and it kind of backfires on her. If this was the first episode you'd happen to jump into, it would probably be a really good one. It's a bottle-up episode, and they're dealing with the fallout of a supervillain attack. The highlight of the episode was Van, as usual. Alan Tudyk kills it in everything he's in. He is a really great highlight of the show, and I can see why he continues to get a lot of work. And everyone on the show obviously got a lot of work continuing on. The episode starts with the gang very excited about the prospect of their corporate retreat. And Emily has spent a lot of time planning. She is like the bright, sunny sunshine of the show. And I would loved an episode where she just pops and finally goes off on everyone who mistreats her and takes her for advantage. And she's so nice. And it's just too bad that it's just never reciprocated. She tries to make a great thing happen for her team, but they all get staying trapped in the office. And of course, the tensions rise between them. One of the funniest things is when Wendy hits on Van, it makes him really uncomfortable in discussing how she didn't want to be trapped with him and because she could eat him alive. And Ron's pissed off at Teddy for citing his bad behavior and attitude as the reasons he would not want to be trapped on an island with him. And while Jackie insists she would want to be left alone on an island, die. When the group insults Teddy, though, his physical strength, he tries to show off by launching a tiki torch at a trash can and accidentally cracks the office window, letting the gas inside. And the gang has to retreat to the science lab. Hijinks ensue every 5 minutes. It continues on. While it is a little cheesy, it felt like the show really earned its solid footing with this. There's a lot of cheap jokes in this episode that can be overlooked as just kind of ridiculous at times. And you can say that other TV shows in an office setting have done it before. But honestly, I think every one of these shows, episodes in this show has its own amount of cheese and love put into it by the creative team. It really does try to influence it. Things that I think the DC Comics fans and the average fans of sitcoms would really enjoy. At this point, they also realized that Powerless was not doing great in the ratings whatsoever. Season 2 could pick up to be a great series, though to be fair, I don't think anyone would blame the network for pulling the plug, unfortunately, and which they did, because it was at this point, I think, they had pulled the plug, and we only got like maybe a couple episodes left, or like the episodes aired really badly out of order at one point, so we didn't get everything we wanted out of it, but I digress. If you've never seen this show before, I highly recommend tracking it down. I think it's on Peacock. I know it's not on Max, even though it is a DC Comics show, but because it was made by another studio, it's definitely got some rights issues that you're not going to be able to find. ScienceFiction.com has great reviews of all the episodes that they have done for this show. It's something I really recommend checking out if you want to know more information. And that's all I have with this episode of Powerless. Don't forget, we got 3 more episodes left, and then we're going to be taking a break, and then we're going to be switching over to Dark Crystal, the TV series on Netflix, which I can't wait for. So hopefully you check that out. Follow us over on the Facebook page, The Dead TV Podcast, and please leave a rating on iTunes, a like, subscribe, and comment, and give us some accolades and props wherever you can on any of the streaming services that you have to listen to this podcast. You can also send us an email at thatradiohorror@gmail.com. Thank you, everyone.